is remarkable. He comes up towards the winning line under Davy Russell to win his second Randox Health Grand National.
Desert Orchid, watch history being made. Roars of applause. The king's in his county.
Heading down towards the last ride in the champion hurdle, and it's Annie Power comes towards it now. She's about four lengths clear. Viziosi jumped it perfectly.
Yes, you're very welcome along to another episode of From the Horse's Mouth, where we all have become fully fledged Francophiles. Racing returns en France on Monday, and we're joined by French racing expert and Sky Sports racing pundit Laurent Barbarin. We've got tips for Longchamp, racing gold with a certain je ne sais quoi, and we'll be washing a berry. All that and more straight from the horse's mouth. Bonjour tout le monde et bienvenue à De la Bouche de Cheval. Yes, we're going Gaelic this week to celebrate the return of racing in a country we've only ever held in the highest regard. That is, of course, with the exception of Thierry Henry. But let's not allow that name to sully the podcast again. It's Vive la France all the way today. And while there has been a scary little wobble in communications at the time of recording, we are still fairly confident of having some racing, and some really high quality racing at that, at Longchamp on Monday. Joining myself, Paddy and Ruby, we're delighted to welcome Laurent Barbarin, French racing expert and regular on Sky Sports Racing. Laurent, how are you? Thanks a million for joining us.
Hi guys, I'm good, thanks. How are you?
Very well.
Fabien, merci. Yeah.
Very well. Absolutely delighted to see that things are moving along across the world. Things are changing. Things are maybe getting back to whatever this new normal will be. Laurent, talk us through about what it's been like in France over the last few months and how racing there has managed to make a comeback.
Well, it's been difficult time like everywhere, I guess. Talking about the racing communities, there was a lot of worries. You know, the system, how it is in France, it's all based on the PMU income, the betting, coming from the PMU shops all over France that have been closed. So it means no racing, no income. And in the coming weeks, there'll be racing, but still not much income from the betting. There's not much betting online in France yet. People may have to get used to it, but it's been worrying time for many trainers, jockeys, and so on.
But things have obviously improved enough now to make a comeback, and you've got racing in France on Monday.
Yes, we are among the lucky ones at the moment. We're going to have racing behind closed doors, and this is going to be a very strict protocol to get on the race courses, but everything seems to be in place. The green light from the government, the organization has been good, and France Gallois has done a very good job in terms of reorganizing racing and resetting the racing program.
Ruby, the faraway hills are often greener. There was a point where maybe Ireland looked like it would be making a comeback sometime soon, but it now looks like it could be later in June, maybe even the 29th of June by the time racing makes a comeback on these shores, and the UK might be back before us.
Racing has been put in the phase three of the phases or the roadmap that the government has outlined for Ireland, really. That is June 29th. I guess HRI are still working on it and hoping to make progress on that. And to be honest with you, Tom, I don't know why you can't be lined up with the reopening of the marts on June the 8th. Horse racing is in agriculture. It doesn't really come under sport. Now, I know it's an event that would have to be played behind closed doors, but if you're getting really technical about it, so is a mart, an event behind closed doors. So I would have thought horse racing should be along the same lines as the marts, and June the 8th would be a small win for racing right now. It had hoped to be earlier, but I think when you look at the plans and guidelines that NPHET have set out and what NPHET require to ease the restrictions that are in place, the data is not in place for them to remove those restrictions any sooner. So if racing could get to June the 8th with the marts, that'd be great.
Paddy, we were so close, but now so far it doesn't do much for the morale, even though maybe it's a minor problem in the grand scheme of things. But you'd like to see racing back sooner rather than later.
Yeah, I think there's a little bit of a fear of a public backlash, and probably all down to the fact that Cheltenham went ahead, and people are still using that as a bit of a lightning rod, unfairly in my view. But And I was interested to see from Laurent, is that something in France? Would the public have a view and say, well, why is racing going back on? Or is that an issue at all? Or
there hasn't been much of an issue about it, except the very famous president of the football club of Lyon in France, who made a case about racing coming back before the football. But as we said before, in France, racing is run under the banner of the agricultural ministry and the financial ministry. So it's just different. It has never been considered as a sport in France. We don't really speak about racing in the sport news. So it's something really different, and the public hasn't, you know, made any issues about this.
Laurent, racing returns in France on Monday, as we've spoken about already. We've got three meetings, but at over 1,000 entries, which is incredible. As you say, people were missing their little bit of income, and there's a lot of trainers out to try and get a winner and get some prize money in the door.
Yes, obviously. But we've seen already that obviously the big races, the group races, the number of potential runners have shrunken a lot. But you think the card at the Compiègne, the national earned card, the entries, 9 races, 405 entries for just 9 races, over 400 entries. They are down to 200, and things are going to obviously shrunk as well here. But everyone needs money. Everyone needs to run to make money. It's going to be very, very competitive for the next 2-3 months, even until the end of the year. Less races, still the same number of horses in training.
Well, Laurent, while we have you, we're going to make the best use of you we possibly can. So we're going to ask you for a few winners. Longchamp is the big meeting in France on Monday, and the Prix de la Grotte is maybe the first race we'll have a look at. A horse called Tropo will probably top the market.
Tropo is likely to top the market. I would say a filly like Kaysaran is not going to be too far behind. So we'll have to see. Tropo has got the best references, the best form so far. I think she would have won if she had a clear run. I think she would have won at Chivalry Parkstead last year. That's another story. But Kaysaran looked very promising last year. We know that Freddie Head thinks a lot of her, and she's going to be very, very fit for this comeback run on Monday. So it's in this race, I've kind of shortened the list to 2 horses, 2 fillies, Trobo and Kaysaran. I have a slight preference for Kaysaran. She's got more scope than the other filly.
Very good. We'll move on to talk about the Prix de Fontainebleau next. And a big talking horse, and he was quite impressive last season, is Victor Ludorum, who tops the market with Paddy Power at 4-6, 4-1 and bigger the rest. Is there anything worth taking the favourite on with here, Laurent? Or is it just a case of the favourite is the best horse in the race?
I think he's the best horse in the race. Helter Skelter is trained by Jean-Claude Rouget. He was quite an eye catcher in the Prix Jean-Luc Lagardère last year when he was 5th behind Victor Ludorum. Victor Ludorum seems to be a very special horse. I don't expect him to be beaten. I'm very confident with the horse. There is probably a good each way horse in the race. It could be Écrivain. I like Écrivain. He's a Wertheimer horse. He's trained by Carlos Lafonparias, will be ridden by Maxime Guillon. It could be a nice each way value.
Paddy, did you ever have dinner in L'Écrivain restaurant in Dublin? I'm sure you did on many occasions, did you?
He's me? Gone.
Yeah, you.
I did. Oh, Jesus, yeah, loads of times, yeah.
Very good. Laurent, we'll move on to talk about the Prix d'Arc, and Sotsas, who was in the shake-up in last year's Arc, is most likely to top the market. He's 8-13 anti-post with Paddy Power at the moment. Is he worth opposing, or what do you make of the Prix d'Arc?
I'm never a big fan of the very, very short price like this. We've seen so many horses getting beat at very short odds. But still, I think in this race, he's obviously, there's one horse that may be an issue for Sotsa, that may pose a problem to Sotsa, is Shaman. Shaman, the good miler last year, because he won last year a race, a prep race for the French Guineas or the Jockey Club, and Sotsas was only 5th that day. Sotsas ran a bad race. Shaman won the race. But I think Sotsas, on what he has achieved last year, once again, he will be very hard to beat.
There's a couple of other meetings, Laurent, on Monday in France. You spoke about Compiègne. Is there anything there worth keeping an eye out for?
I would say for Compiègne, then again, I'm looking at the potential runners here. There's going to be 2 listed races, 1 chase and 1 hurdle race, but these races are for all the horses, and we're going to see in these races some of the horses preparing for the French Gold Cup that will be run on the 7th of June. And at the moment, I'm just looking at the list. There is Bipolaire that won a group one at the end of last year, trained by François Nicole, that is coming back over hurdles on Monday. And there's one that I like very much. That could be a good horse for the French Gold Cup. His name is Crystal Beach. He fell in the French Gold Cup last year. He's a very nice horse. He may not be fully fit this Monday. I don't think he'll be winning Monday, but he's a horse to follow for the French Gold Cup, Crystal Beach.
Is he Philip Carberry's?
No. He's trained by Marcel Roland. And I cannot see any of Philip Carberry's horses in the race. No, he hasn't got any here.
Laurent, is the general feeling that the horses will be fit and ready to go? Like, have the trainers had enough time to prepare them for the restart on Monday?
Yes, and this is going to be a big deal. I would say for the prep races, for the classic, like in the Fontainebleau and La Grotte, I would say a trainer like Freddie Head has his horses always ready, and they'll be ready to go. André Fab normally gives them a little bit more time. I don't expect Victor Ludorum to be 100%. He will be for the next race in a month's time. But when we will look at the other races, lesser races like handicaps, claimers, everyone's going to be wanting to win money because they need to win money badly.
Laurent, your best bet on Monday at Longchamp?
I would say it's Victor Ludorum. Very short price, but it'd be hard to beat.
Paddy Power, your best bet at Longchamp on Monday?
Well, having put a phenomenal amount of research into this, I would go for Sutsa, I don't know how you pronounce it. I wish I could speak as sexily as Laurent, but the reason why, although I just had a quick look at his form there while we were chatting, and he said he's run at Longchamp a couple of times. He doesn't have a great record there, but he was third in the arc, which I think is probably good enough.
Ruby,
you left me with a lot of options, didn't you?
Yeah.
Three races priced up, and the two boys are taking the two shorties in the other two races. But having listened to Laurent, I'm going to go for Kayseran in the Prix de la Grotte, the second favourite. I think Laurent made a good enough case for her, so I'll side with her.
Right, well, we'll take those three horses, put them in a treble, and see if the traders can enhance them and stick them up on site for us. Now, we're grateful, of course, for Laurent's presence for our Serious Racing Chat, but we've also asked you to hang around and judge our farce of a quiz. We've used Google Translate to put the names of famous horses in English into French and see if Paddy and Ruby can figure them out. Now, I would suspect Paddy might have an edge here. Cosmopolitan, well-travelled. Now, Ruby, I'm not saying you're agricultural.
You live in the arsehole of Kerry, at least, or Kilkenny, I mean. At least I'm living in Kildare, if you mean Dublin, in 25 minutes, and Paddy does live in Dublin. So you have some cheek calling either of us agricultural, which a big farmer's head on you, and you can't even buy a razor and have a shave.
I'm clean shaven on the side. It's just a mustache that I decided to grow. But I'm glad to see I struck a chord anyway. How is your French, Ruby?
I can get by. I can get from the airport to Autai and from Autai back to the airport.
And Paddy, would you say you're fluent or have some broken French?
I would say I'm kind of, I wouldn't be fluent, but I could go on holidays in France and stumble along. I lived in Paris for like 6 weeks during the Euros, and I got by just fine. So I think if you speak English very slowly, that usually works.
Well, we've got a few. Google Translate has kindly provided us with a few racehorse names in French, famous names in English, but we've got them in French. So you've got to see how well you can translate them, I should say. Paddy, we'll start with you. This is an easy one. Rum Rouge. Couldn't get much easier than that, really.
Would that be Red Rum by any chance?
It would. Ruby, Oiseau de Mer.
Paddy knows. I haven't a clue.
Paddy?
That does not involve Porto Thai.
Is it See the Stars?
No. Laurent, what is it?
Seabird.
Oh. Yes.
Oiseau, of course, yes.
Ruby, we'll give you another go. Homme de guerre. Yeah.
I am
Hom.
Yeah.
For your hom. That's how you would have said it in Kildare now. Hom de Gare.
Nah.
No. Paddy, any joy?
Man of War.
Man of War. Very good. Well done. One more and then we'll go. Ruby, you should get this now, Ruby.
Any horse that was like the born this side of the first
Okay. Here's one for you. Chasseur Day. Is that wrong, Laurent? I think you're...
Yeah, I don't...
That's a Google Translate.
Laurent doesn't even know what this one is.
No. Say that again, Tom.
Chasseur Day. Die.
I know, no wonder I can't get these.
Ruby rolled it. He won a big race on it.
Hurricane Fly.
No. I've got it wrong, obviously. Or Google Translate has got it wrong. Hedge Hunter it was.
Hunter.
Would that be right, Laurent, or wrong? Incorrect?
I think we need to look at it again. I'm not sure it's 100% correct. Inquiry.
That is code for wrong.
You're listening to From the Horse's Mouth by Paddy Power.
Yeah. 2011 was the year of the Arab Spring, and Icelandic volcano Grímsvötn wreaked havoc with European air travel. In October, French President Nicolas Sarkozy and Carla Bruni welcomed a daughter, while at Ascot, British Racing was trying out a new season finale, Champions Day.
Nathaniel LaBouffe, covered by So You Think, has got to within half a length. Cirrus de Zegel, Snow Fairy, towards the outside, twice over, can't go on midday, tries to stay on So You Think, and Cirrus de Zegel, then Snow Fairy, looking for an out underneath the pair. Will we switch to the outside? Midday and Green Destiny, Cirrus de Zegel on the outside, but So You Think, Snow Fairy is back in third, Cirrus de Zegel on the near side, for Christophe Senior, Cirrus de Zegel, the champion stakes go to France. Cirrus de Zegel, the winner.
One of France's real greats, and today is his 14th birthday. So bon anniversaire to him. Laurent, over 6 million in prize money, farmed the Prix Dallard, pulled off a really successful raid in the Champion Stakes at Ascot, didn't he? It was a really good race that day. So You Think, Snow Fairy back in third, Casamento out with the washing. It was an excellent race, and he was an excellent horse, wasn't he?
Yes, he was an amazing horse, a character, and his trainer was a character as well. He's a character, Corinne Baumbach. So it was just a nice team. Cirrus de Zegel going all over the world, Corinne Baumbach talking to everyone. It was just fantastic.
Ruby, if you look at his race record, a horse like that, he was hardy out, wasn't he? A serious amount of runs at such a high level.
He was, but obviously, Tom, he was a gelding, not a colt, and that's probably why he not lasted so long, but there was no other career for him. He was a racehorse and he had to race, and that's what he did. But he was a brilliant horse, and I always enjoy watching him run. He added a lot to a lot of races. I must say, I love when the French horses come to Ascot to take on the English and the Irish. I wish more would come to Ireland to partake. I wish more jump horses would come from France to Ireland to run for French trainers. I think the more international we can make it between the three countries even, the better it would be for horse racing.
Paddy, you surely backed him somewhere along the line, did you?
I think I backed him that day, yeah. And Simeon got a... I was just looking it up there, and actually it's not, I don't know if funny is the right word, but the really strict whip rules came in with regard to the amount of times you can hit the horse, the ones that Ruby loves, came in 5 days before that race, right, for the Champions Stakes. And Simeon won the race, obviously, but he went over the thing. And so he gets a 5-day whip ban and lost his share of the prize money, which is 52 grand. And he said after the race, he said, this is a disgrace having a ban like this in sport. Zinedine Zidane didn't even get a fine like this. He's comparing himself to Zidane after headbutting Materazzi or whatever it was. But and the other thing about it was he then called on all the British jockeys to strike against the severity of the whip bans or whatever. So he was very, very apoplectic after winning the race. And it was quite controversial at the time. I haven't done enough research to find out whether he won his appeal or not yet, Tom. So I don't know if he got his money back. But
they were volatile times in the racing circles, Paddy.
They were, though, weren't they?
Jockeys were open arms. And like you said, it seems like such a long time ago. But I remember when they came in, and I fell foul to those rules in entry as well for going once over, not quite to the limit that Christoph went over. But they were quite hard to adapt to straight away. And what people never gave credit to was that it curbed your instinct to win. It curbed your natural aggression. It curbed your what you had been used to all your life of trying so hard and seizing an opportunity. Those whip rules were so stringent when they came in that it curbed something in you that took time to refine. And I don't think people, we weren't given long enough when they came in to adapt to them and adapt to the whole mentality of them, of what you had to do.
Good point, but you have to remember as well that Soumillon is not the coolest. He's an extraordinary jockey, but he's not the coolest man as well. So I can see him getting very upset. And as Ruby said, just the way you've been used to do things for many years, within days you have to change. It's very difficult. Now things have changed. Jockey are getting used to it. Now I've got used to it, at the time, yes, I remember Soumillon. He's still a very hot-tempered man, I'm not surprised to see him reacted like this at the time. He's a character.
I was always sorry I wasn't in Auteuil when he won the French champion hurdle. I was injured that year, but I'd love to have ridden against him. And I always thought it was a great... I thought it was brilliant to see a guy of his success think... He was having a lean run at the time. I think he'd lost one of those jobs and whatever. And he gave it a go. And I remember thinking, wow, hats off to you that you're willing to go to Auteuil and ride in a 3-mile hurdle race, having travelled the world riding on the flat. I must say, he rose up my estimations a hell of a long way.
Yes, there's not many things scaring, to be honest. If he had been too heavy, and he's a heavy jockey, but if he had been too heavy to ride on the flat, he would have been riding over jumps for sure. He's got this, you know what it is in your position, he's got this very competitive mind in him, but sometimes the trouble with him, it leads him to some excess, and 2011 was probably one of them, where it goes a little bit too far in my view. It's only my view on it, but he's very competitive, and he just loves to win. He wants to win, that's it. And he's like, you know, I can compare him to Ruby Walsh, obviously, over jumps. It's what makes a difference with many other jockeys. And that's what, you know, make you reach the top, I guess.
You're listening to From the Horse's Mouth by Paddy Power.
And now it's time for this week's Why the Long Face. I've learned that calling Ruby Walsh agricultural might give him a long face, but have you got anything for us this week, Ruby?
Well, I don't mind someone from middle of Dublin or Cork City or Galway City calling me agriculture, but a farmer from Kilkenny calling me agriculture, like, that's people in glass houses throwing stones. We'll move on from that one again, Tom. Let that be a lesson learned. But my long face, I don't know, is it a long face, but maybe it was the reality that was played out this week, and I can understand the worries and concerns about health. I can understand that all players and refs and everybody else in the GAA are amateurs, and I can understand the League of Ireland from a financial point of view, so I can understand all that. But I was surprised that neither body made more effort to play behind closed doors to get their sports back up and running. I thought the GAA, from a community point of view, and it's very community based, would try and get started to give all the people that love the GAA something to watch at an inter-county level. It's about just under 2% of the GAA playing population. I thought they would make more noise and effort about starting it. And if it didn't happen, it didn't happen. But I thought the effort would be made. I found it very interesting reading all the articles all week that kids now don't look like vectors. I thought the GAA would make an effort to get the kids back out, to give the community something to do. That doesn't look like happening. And I thought the League of Ireland had a golden opportunity to advertise its sport with so little sport on, that they would be trying to seize that. But that doesn't look likely either. I just found how a lot of people are looking for the way to stay locked down rather than get out of the lockdown. I found that a bit peculiar, maybe.
It's a very, very interesting point you raise, I think. Paddy Power, anything your end?
Probably not quite as deep as Ruby's, but I bought a couple of oranges the other day in the shop, right? And I was going to squeeze some freshies.
You're right, it's definitely as deep as Ruby's.
But it was, I was trying to have freshly squeezed juice. I found an old, you know, those yolks you twist at the, where you twist the orange and then squeeze your things. And I found one in the back of the press. I was cleaning out the press the other day. And so I said, geez, I must make freshly squeezed juice. Didn't know we had it. So we went down and got a few oranges and started squeezing them. And Jesus, you got a fucking dribble out of it. Like, it's like when you're on holidays and you squeeze an orange, you get a full glass out of it. Like, the oranges here are a disgrace. They should be ashamed of themselves.
You're listening to From the Horse's Mouth by Paddy Power.
Yes, it's that time again. The hottest book club in town is back once more. And in keeping with our French theme, this week's chapter was Caught O'Star. But it was actually kind of more about a Zertiop than Caught O'Star, so I'm not really sure who came up with that name. But both French kind of horses, as Ruby gives me the middle finger over Zoom. But yeah, Ruby, a kind of a long-standing relationship with some very, very good French horses through your career, haven't you?
Oh, outstanding. Like I always, people say, what's the best horses you rode? I say, Caught O'Star and Hurricane Fly, they were both French. So, what was Hurricane Fly bred in France? I think he was. Anyway, they were. I rode a huge amount of French horses, Tom, firstly for Paul and then for Willie, and had a lot of success with them. And I suppose they were another supply of horses into the market when the Irish horse, point-to-point or bumper horse, became too expensive. They went to France, and then when the French ones got too expensive, they came back buying the Irish and English ones. And I suppose that's like any market in the world, but I had a lot of success with French horses. And when you were asking me those names earlier, the translations, if you'd said less terrestrial, I would have got Caught O'Star.
Very good. You would have got that. But when we were talking about earlier with Laurent, some nuanced signs of young French horses, and when you saw Caught O'Star arrive over as a four-year-old to ride him the first time, what did he stand out as your typical type of French horse, or was he something? Was there something a little bit different about him? Or?
I had no clue what he was. Turned up in Newbury to ride him in December in what looked a really hot beginner's chase or novice chase. Locksmith was in it, and Foreman, and Paul was running this four-year-old called Caught O'Star with 10-7, and he absolutely kicked them out of the way. I remember coming out of Newbury thinking, wow, that's some racehorse, but I didn't know what he was going to Newbury. It's at the time, Tom, it was quite hard to read, not hard to read it, but to make sense of French form. I wasn't riding in France as much. I didn't know where half the tracks were. I knew who Guillaume McCair was, who Francois Dumas were. I didn't have much knowledge of the other French trainers, but yeah, look, there was a huge supply of horses coming from France, and there still is, and I think they've added to the sport that we all watch and enjoy.
Ruby, French horses have obviously been very good to you, but racing in France and riding winners in France has also been a kind of a happy hunting ground for you. You've won the French champion hurdle 3 or 4 times, and
twice,
1,000 stars and
1,000 stars. I won 2,000 stars. I think I won plenty of success in 4-year-olds there. Won the Prix Alain Debris for Eric McNamara. Won a couple of races. I never won the French Gold Cup. I'd love to have ridden the winner of the Grand Steep of Paris. It's a fabulous, fabulous race. And that's a great weekend in Paris, actually. It should have been on next weekend. But it's great fun. And we always had great fun there. I remember going 1 year and we came back out after something had won, and there was 8 or 10 of us on a day trip, and we were sitting at the bar beside the parade ring. Our flight wasn't until 9:30. We were finished at 5:30 having a drink, and one drink led to two, and the idea was floated that maybe we'll stay. So we had another drink while we were debating whether we'd stay or not, and then we decided we would stay. So we had to renegotiate hotels or go and find hotels. Jackie Mullins went and got the hotels. I sorted the flights. Somebody else sorted the car, and we ended up staying in Paris and had one hell of a night. So there was always the social aspect of going to France that was enjoyable too.
Paddy, have you made hay while the sun shone racing in France a few times on the social scene?
I haven't been to the Arc as many times as a lot of my mates have. There was a group that go out religiously every year of a couple of lads who are mad at the French race, and they go over to the French Guineas and even the Guineas trials and all that kind of stuff. But I've been over when we had Soul Power. He ran there 2011, 12, 13, 14, and 15. I think missed 2010 because of the ground, and never won. He won Group 1. He won the Group 1 everywhere in Europe. I think every sprint Group 1 in Europe are the Peter Lavey, I think. And every five furlong Group 1 sprint, sorry. So the first year in 2011, though, he finished third to Tangerine Trees. Keegan Latham rode him and he was knocked back in the race and way back. He had to pull him out wide and he came up and he was beaten ahead in third. Like he literally half a stride past the post, he was in front. So that was very unlucky. But since then, he never really ran his best there. I remember that, I went over a good few times for day trips or maybe for the night before or whatever. And it was brilliant. The Arc is such a great occasion. Like, it's just brilliant. Crack. It's got everything. It caters for everyone. It caters for, like, it's only a fiver in. It's a normal thing. So it caters for just going for the crack for a bit of a day out. And you've got really swanky hospitality as well if you need it. Remember in 2014, he was 13-8 favourite. He'd beaten everyone that year. And Richard Hughes was riding him. And I had managed through a guy at work, Bruno. If you remember, Bruno is the French racing guy. His dad was some way involved in Longchamp. So through Bruno, I managed to get a table in that restaurant beside the parade ring for all the, it was a really cool restaurant to be in because it was close to all the action. So I got a table in there. I paid for it as a present to mum and dad and everything, brought everyone over. But the day before, or the 2 days before, I was in London working. I was on a work night out. And myself and another lad, Dan Thompson, ended up in a casino in London, the Playboy Club, which is a casino. And we were in the Playboy Club sitting Jesus there at about Christ. 4 a.m.
I like the way this is going. Go on, Amir.
I turned around to Dan, who were playing away. I said, listen, we're going over to the Arc on Sunday if you fancy coming, like, stupidly. Obviously, well on at this stage. He says, oh, yeah. God, I thought nothing of it. But anyway, we're at France. He turns up at the restaurant. So I paid for this restaurant. About, like, I got 200 quid ahead or 250 ahead. And I paid for it. I'm sitting at the table there. Dan Thompson turns up, sits down. And I didn't even get a seat. So to stand there for the whole day, Sol Pair finished 8th and a 13-8 favourite. Didn't get a feckin' seat. But there you go.
That is the trials and tribulations of the rich and famous.
How's the sympathy levels, Tom?
Very, very low.
You're listening to From the Horse's Mouth by Paddy Power.
Before we go, we've got a few questions in on Twitter for the lads. Ah, yes. This is a good question. Ruby and Laurent, I actually might answer it. Get you to answer this both together. Baz asks, what are the different characteristics or abilities, if any, you look out for in a horse to make it at the top end of French jumping as opposed to English jumping? So basically, what are the differences really between, you see all these French horses coming from France, Laurent, coming over to the UK and Ireland and being extremely good and quite occasionally ahead of the bunch we have here. So what are the key characteristics you're looking out for? And would there be major differences between the horses in France, national hunt horses, compared to the national hunt horses in the UK and Ireland?
Well, normally when horses are sold to England or Ireland, the first thing is we sell the good ones. So that's one thing. And they are, most of them are top class horses when they leave France already, or they've shown a lot of potential. The other thing is we've got this brand of horses, the French half-bred. And I think the style of racing in Ireland and England fits these horses very well because they can carry the weight, they can gallop forever. And they are tailor-made for jump racing. And I think they found a ground in UK and Ireland that suits them perfectly. Tough races, heavy weight to carry, heavier than in France, and just they've got this jumping ability as well. But Ruby can tell plenty more. I could talk about it for 3 hours, and you know, I've been looking at it so much over the years. But that's just trying to shorten as much as I can.
Ruby,
I think they're athletic, Tom. They're maybe not as heavy as the Irish traditional Irish bred horse. They're slightly lighter, even the AQPS horse that Laurent is talking about. They're not as heavy boned as the Irish horses, and I think therefore are a bit easier to keep sound. And I prefer them coming to Ireland or England, having not run in a steeplechase in France. The steeplechase in France is a much different race to Ireland or England. They're much softer hedges, and they have to learn to jump almost through the jumps in the steeplechase in France, whereas in Ireland or England, you have to jump over them. So I think French hurdlers can make very good chasers in Ireland or England, whereas the French chaser can struggle to adapt. But that it would be likewise when an Irish or English chaser goes to France, he struggles to adapt as well because he tries to jump over when he should be jumping through. So I think the French hurdler is ideal. And I, for my money, they're slightly more athletic and they're easier to keep sound.
Very good. Lauren, another one for you. At Pigeon Jock asks, who is a small-scale French trainer worth following or keeping an eye out for this year?
Just out of the blue like this, small trainers, I would say, maybe upcoming trainers. Graffa is not anymore a small trainer. I would probably look out in the province. There is a young trainer in Western France that I follow when he comes up to Paris, when he comes run at Longchamp in Saint-Cloud. His name is Ludovic Gadbin. Gadbin, G-A-D-B-I-N. When he goes to the big meetings, the PMU meetings, normally he's quite accurate, he's quite astute, and I like the way he works. He hasn't got top-class horses, but his horses are getting better. He gets better quality every year, and he's still a young trainer. So Ludovic Gadbin.
Very good. Lovely. And Paddy, one for you, just a round out. John McCarthy asks, how do you say giddy up in French?
For me?
Yeah.
Gidjup.
It's a good effort. Laurent Barbarin, thank you very much for joining us. You're a gentleman. Welcome. Thanks for your time.
It was a pleasure.
No, thank you.
Yeah, see you
very much.
Cheers all. Thank you.
So there you have it, another action-packed show with a heavy dusting of Joie de Vivre. My thanks indeed to our very own Asterix and Oblix, Paddy and Ruby. My thanks to French racing expert par excellence, Mr. Laurent Barbarin. But most of all, my thanks to you for listening. The lads' best bets have been put in the treble up on our website, so make sure to check that out. But for now, I've been Tom Nugent, and that has been From the Horse's Mouth.
From the Horse's Mouth is a Muddy Knees Media production for Paddy Power.